You've got current state here for Wednesday. We're glad you're along. I'm Mark Bayshore. A recent report casts doubt on the impact of two decades of tax cutting here in Michigan. It suggests that the resulting cuts in public revenue have seriously prevented a greater prosperity. Michigan's tax policies, wrong turns on the path to prosperity, is a data-driven analysis that finds $51 billion in public revenue have been eliminated due to tax cuts. Among some noticeable conclusions, that most of the $51 billion reduction would have gone to K-12 education, that Michigan ranks 49th in the country in terms of the percentage of state and local taxes paid by business. The report, overseen by former state treasury official Douglas Drake, was underwritten by a consortium of teacher and education groups, including the Michigan Education Association, the Michigan Association of School Boards, and others. Mr. Drake is recovering from an illness, so to explore the study and its findings a little more, we welcome a colleague of his. Mitch Bean is founder and partner of Great Lakes Economic Partners in Eaton Rapids and is the former director of the House Fiscal Agency. Welcome, Mitch.
Thank you.
Did the general conclusion of the study here, that there's little reason to link tax cutting with prosperity, did that surprise you?
Oh, not at all. Neither did the magnitude of the tax cuts. I mean, $51 billion is a lot of money, and the $34 to $38 billion hit on schools, that's a lot of money. Of course, that's over a 20-year period.
Mm-hmm.
That's not each year. That's over a 20-year period. But when you look at, for example, the magnitude of the cuts, if you look at a publication that Treasury put out about the first 10 years of Proposal A, it's called Proposal A Retrospective. And it showed that the tax cuts to schools from Proposal A was $17 billion the first 10 years. So the idea that it's 34 to 38 over 20 years doesn't surprise me at all. Mm. And looking at, magnitude of the cuts that have taken place in general cuts, I mean, that's the biggest part of it. But, yeah, the $51 billion didn't surprise me at all.
One of the key points in the study is that there's little, if any, connection between tax cutting and increases in personal income. Page 18, quote, Michigan had the smallest, well, this is the smallest increase in the nation in taxes. It's not, doesn't refer to cutting necessarily, but the smallest increase in the nation in taxes as measured on a per capita basis from 1977 to 2011. Page 17, measured as a percentage of personal income over the same period, Michigan's increase was 42nd lowest in the nation. Can you help our non-economists understand why there's a disconnect there? Those two would seem to be related.
Well, what you really need to look at for prosperity, actually, which is what this is all about, you know, have we prospered with these tax cuts, is you look at per capita personal income. And we went, in 1994, we were ranked about 18th highest in, number one is the highest. We're ranked about 18th in the nation. 1994, it dropped down to about 35th. So, you know, our ranking is, you know, way below average. This stuff
despite tax cutting,
despite
people working, in theory at least, keeping more of their income?
Yeah. Here's the issue with state tax cuts. They're really different than federal tax cuts. The feds can cut taxes to stimulate the economy and keep on spending money because they can deficit spend.
Yeah.
We can't do that. We've got a balanced budget amendment, as all but one state does. And, so when we cut taxes, we reduce revenue and we have to reduce services. Now, services are really important to the economy. An advanced capitalist economy like ours has to have things like an educated workforce, has to have infrastructure, has to have the right kind of regulatory environment, has to have public safety, has to have courts, has to have a social safety net. These are all things that are paid for with taxes. Now, they can be provided either directly by government, or government can contract with a private sector. You can do a private-public partnership. There's different ways to do it, but they're all paid for with taxes. And when you reduce revenue, you have to reduce services. Now, in my opinion, and I've held this opinion for some time now, we've reduced services so much that it's a detriment to the economy, and it overwhelms any potential stimulus from state tax cuts. But when you look at, if you just look at the magnitude of things, you know, Michigan's economy is about 2.5% of the national economy. that's all, you know, we're not, we don't run the national economy. The national economy runs us. That's the way it is.
2.5%.
2.5%, right. We're about a $350 billion economy.
Everybody's thinking of that old saw that they've heard that Michigan, if it were an independent nation, it would be the 8th richest nation in the world or something like that. Maybe that goes back to a previous, more prosperous decade.
Yeah, I never heard that, but, you know, and, you know, we are a big economy, but relative to the nation as a whole, which is over $14 trillion economy, $350 billion, $14 trillion, that's a big difference. Now, and we're kind of overwhelmed by what the feds do. You know, when you got monetary policy, you've got federal fiscal policy, I say they can do some things. All we can do is set an environment where things can prosper. Now, part of that, though, is you got to have the right amount of revenue to actually produce the services you need. You got to have an educated workforce. Well, we've cut the heck out of education. Look what's happened to higher education. You know, it's been cut about 25% in the last 10 years. Adjusted for inflation, it's over 30%.
Is it good that the state is obligated to balance its budget every year?
Oh, absolutely.
Or is that contributing? Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean,
if
we didn't have to balance our budget, though, we could theoretically enjoy services and not have to pay for them, at least right away.
Yeah, that's not, we don't want to do that.
So, okay, being obligated to balance our budget is a good idea.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And also, we don't have monetary policy. We don't print our own money like the feds do.
Right.
So, you know, that makes things a lot different as well.
Clarify one other point that I found really interesting here. In its coverage of the Drake report, MERS News wrote, and they're speaking of Doug Drake here when they write
sure.
this, quote, he's not implying that the tax slashes caused the downward economic slope, but he said the decline makes it obvious that the policies have failed. Can you help us understand the point there?
Sure.
I mean, the thrust of the report would seem to suggest a connection.
Now, what Doug is saying, and within the report, he has some charts and so forth that show this, but the main reason that we went into such a deep recession is that our most prominent industry, the auto industry, went from about a 74% market share down to about a 40% market share. And the market itself shrunk from 16 million units a year on average to about 10.
Yeah.
You know, there's no industry that can take that kind of hit and not be in trouble. Now, if you were to look at reduction in people working in the auto industry, direct auto employment, your manufacturing and so forth, or rather your auto assembly plants, there was a huge reduction. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm thinking it was from about 350,000 down to about 150,000. And each one of those jobs has this really important effect on other jobs and the suppliers. So one of those jobs affects, you know, 5-6 other jobs. In fact, if you look at that, just that alone, you know, we lost a cumulative of about 850,000 jobs during a 10-year recession that we were in. It's almost entirely explained by what happened in the auto sector. So it wasn't tax policy that did that. That was just, you know, the economics of the national economy and, you know, the decisions of buyers in the auto sector and so forth. That tax policy didn't have anything to do with that. But we've been told for 20 years that tax policy was going to take care of that. The tax policy would stimulate the economy. One of the things that was blamed on the previous administration. Well, you know, their policies drove us into a recession. Oh, that's nonsense.
Hmm.
You know, nobody could have withstood that.
Our special guest on Current State Today, former House Fiscal Agency Director Mitch Bean. And today, Mitch is a partner in Great Lakes Economic Partners in Eaton Rapids. Can a credible case be made? I mean, we're talking about a 20-year period here with this report. Can a credible case be made that Michigan's taxes could have been, quote, too high, unquote, 20 years ago, but that cutting has simply gone too far?
Well, if they were too high 20 years ago, the question has to be then, why were we in the upper tier in terms of per capita personal income? We were ranked 18th in 1994.
Mm.
And by the time, 20 years later, we were at about 34th. So the more we cut taxes, the more, you know, the less prosperity we had. Mm. And in fact, if you were to look at any report, Doug looks at some of this, you look at states that are good states to actually compare our economy to because they're similar. It's not the low tax states that prosper. It's actually higher tax states that spend their money on the services that really make a difference. For example, you know, we've cut over $6 billion in the last, since about 2000, out of money going to local governments. You just mentioned the issue down in Jackson. They're talking about laying off a bunch of public safety personnel.
Yeah.
That's been happening all over the state. I mean, think about it. It's $6 billion over over 10 years. That has a huge impact on the local governments and on the state economy in general.
You were witness to a lot of these tax debates.
Oh, 20 years of
playing out from your position at the House Fiscal Agency, where you served for so many years. Looking back, I am really curious. What do you make of the credibility of the ongoing larger debate? Is this generally a credible debate between opposing philosophies, or does it contain, how much misinformation does it contain?
Well, it's philosophy, but it's also ideology, and ideology has risen to a point of almost religious conviction. People say, this is what I believe, so it must be true, regardless of what the data say, which really irritates someone like me. In fact, I'm not a real fan of either side. I'm neither, you know, I'm not a member of either party. I never want to run for office, and I'm not a fan of either side. But the idea of having a rational political debate is almost an oxymoron.
Mitch Bean is the former director of the House Fiscal Agency. Today, he's a founder and partner of Great Lakes Economic Partners in Eaton Rapids, and we've been talking about the Drake Report. Mitch, many thanks. Appreciate it.